The following podcast was made possible by the sponsorship of Teresa Leong Lee and by Catholic Digital Resources, where you can find downloadable faith formation resources and evangelization tools. Visit Catholic Digital Resources at CatholicDR.com to build your own faith and the faith of others. That's CatholicDR.com.
Good News Ministries of GNM.org presents Footsteps to Heaven. Life's a journey full of challenges. Sometimes we get stalled. Sometimes we get sidetracked. When we walk with Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit to the destination that God the Father designed for us, the results are better than we could ask for or imagine. And now, here is your host, Terry Modica.
And now we get to the part of the Mass that we call the source and the summit of our faith, the Eucharistic part of Mass, the part of the Mass where the supernatural interaction of God with us changes first the bread and the wine into truly being Jesus Christ Himself and transforms us then into having Jesus so much in us that we are being Jesus for the world, for each other, and for the world. That's why we call it the source of our faith and the summit of our faith, because here we receive what we need to live the holy life, to make a difference in the world, and to experience the miracles that faith is supposed to provide for us. Everything we've been doing in Mass leading up to this point has been preparing us for this. Do you know at what point during the Eucharistic prayers that are about to begin, the bread and the wine actually become the body and blood of Jesus? When does the miracle happen? Is there just a moment in time? Is it more than that? I like to think of it as a pregnancy. Pregnancies always begin with the union of two human beings or two dogs, two cats, two horses, whatever. In the case of Mass, it's the union between us and God. This is what we've been leading up to. This is what we've been accomplishing ever since Mass began, with the opening song, with the gathering of the people together. As I've described in previous episodes in this series, the first part of Mass leading up to the Eucharistic prayers is building this unity between us and God, between us and each other, because you know what? We don't have unity with God if we don't have unity with each other. We don't love God any more than we love the people around us, the people in our lives, the people out there in the world that we work with. Hopefully, during the Mass up to this point, you've been conquering all the divisions that's in your life. You've been conquering your sins and receiving forgiveness and building this unity with God. Because at the end of the preparation of the gifts, the Eucharistic prayer begins with the priest saying to us, "The Lord be with you," and we say to the priest, "And with your spirit." And then he says to us, "Lift up your hearts," and we say, "We lift them up to the Lord." Are you really lifting your heart up to the Lord at this point? And the priest says, "Let us give thanks to the Lord our God," and we say, "It is right and just." Are we giving thanks to the Lord our God? Or are we still grumbling about something? Are we still thinking about what has irritated us back home or back at the job or out there in the world in the politics or whatever? What about the unanswered prayers you have? What about the various ways that God seems to be letting you down? God isn't doing things your way. Or have you reached the point in your relationship with God where you can give Him thanks despite everything that's going on? Can you give thanks to God that He is working in your life even though you can't see it yet in the unanswered prayers? Can you give thanks to God that He knows what is best for you and the timing of the answer to your prayers? Can you thank God that He is in your life? Can you thank God that He is in the Eucharist that you're about to receive? If you can, then you can truly say it is right and just to give thanks to the Lord our God. The priest then says it is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere, to give you thanks, Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God. See, this part of the Mass, we're really praying to God the Father in preparation for Jesus to come fully present to us. The priest goes on. There's different prefaces he could be using, by the way, Eucharistic prayers. There's different options, and I'm reading just one of them. He says to the Lord, the Father God, you laid the foundations of the world and have arranged the changing of times and seasons. You formed us in your own image and set humanity over the whole world in all its wonder to rule in your name over all you have made and forever praise you in your mighty works through Christ our Lord. This is a worship moment here. This is the unity that I talked about, the union that begins a pregnancy. And so, the priest says, so with all the angels, we praise you. And think about it. This place, this church that you're in, is packed with angels, invisible angels. Everybody who came in there has a guardian angel, and there are other angels besides who are there. So the place is packed with holy angels, praising and worshiping God with us. And that's why the priest says, and so with all the angels we praise you, God the Father, as in joyful celebration we acclaim, holy, holy, holy Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And by the way, I hope you're not praying it as if you don't mean it. I hope you don't go this way. Holy, holy, holy Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Ho hum. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. I wonder what I'm going to make for dinner after Mass is over. Let's worship the Lord with our whole heart and our whole mind and our whole soul, as Jesus tells us to do. Okay, what comes next are the Eucharistic prayers, where the union becomes a conception. The pregnancy begins with the conception. Using, as an example, the Eucharistic prayer number one, the priest says, to you, therefore, most merciful Father, we make humble prayer and petition through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, that you accept and bless these gifts, these offerings, these holy and unblemished sacrifices, which we offer you firstly for your Holy Catholic Church. These are the gifts that we brought up to the altar during the previous part of Mass, the offertory. Included in that offertory was the bread and the wine that came from the congregation, came from us, work of human hands, and we have given it to God for His divine hands to work a miracle. And when the priest says that we offer it firstly for God's Holy Catholic Church, it's a lowercase c, meaning the universal, meaning all Christians everywhere, of all denominations, all followers of Christ. We are offering these gifts up to the Father for the sake of all Christians everywhere. And then the priest says, be pleased to grant her, the church, peace, to guard, unite, and isn't that word an important word there, unite? Of course, guard. Yes, we need to be guarded, and we need to pray often to be guarded against all the tactics of the evil one that is trying to destroy the church from within and from without through moral relativism, getting us to believe things that are not true, getting us to take our focus off of God, off of Christ, off of our need for Christ's salvation, to guard, unite, and govern her throughout the whole world, together with your servant, and then the priest lists the Pope, the bishop, and all those who, holding to the truth, hand on the Catholic and apostolic faith. Catholic, again, with lowercase c, meaning the Christian, and apostolic faith, meaning that came from the first apostles and had been passed down through all the generations of apostles to today's priests. And all of us who accept our apostolic mission of handing on the faith. The priest continues, "Remember, Lord, your servants, all who are gathered here, whose faith and devotion are known to you." We may not know the faith level of the person sitting next to us, or the parent who is very distracted by the kids, or the person who is keeping his mouth shut during the entire Mass and doesn't seem to be participating. God knows that person's faith, and we must not judge. That's what we're saying, or what the priest is saying for us, and we are silently praying with the priest to the Father here. For them, we offer you this sacrifice of praise, or they offer it for themselves and all who are dear to them. Who is dear to you? Who are you now offering the sacrifice of praise which we have been entering into? Remember, I said that if we are grumbling, if we are dissatisfied with God, we are not thankful for God. We need to get past that. We need to turn our hearts into a thankful heart. We need to give God our worship and our praise. That is all part of the pregnancy that is taking place here in the Mass. And it is a sacrifice of praise when we don't feel like thanking God, when we don't feel like praising God because things aren't going well. And we offer this for those who are dear to us, the people we're praying for, everyone who is dear to us, for the redemption of their souls, the priest says, in hope of health and well-being, and paying their homage to you, the eternal God, living and true. Did you realize that you, at this point in Mass, are praying for your dear ones and for the redemption of their souls? Who do you know who is not going to church, who's rejected Jesus? You're praying for them here at this point in the Mass. Skipping ahead, it's a long prayer, and I don't want to go through every single word of it, but I hope that by taking apart pieces of it, I've started you on the journey, or deepened the journey you're already on, of truly paying attention to the words that are being prayed, the words that are being spoken during the Mass. The priest says at some point during this Eucharistic prayer, "Be pleased, O God, we pray, to bless, acknowledge, and approve this offering in every respect. Make it spiritual and acceptable, so that," and here's a key moment, "so that it may become for us the body and blood of your most beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ." This is still a future tense here. Yes, the prayers have begun. Yes, the bread and the wine, the pregnancy with the bread and the wine, have begun to be transformed. And the pregnancy is growing. What these prayers are pregnant with is growing, so that it may become for us. This is not a maybe. It is a may, as in, because, Lord, you, God, are here, and you have called us together, and you have given us this gift of the Eucharist. You have called us to join together in worshiping and receiving the Eucharist. Therefore, it is going to happen. Because the priest is praying, "Make it spiritual and acceptable, so that it may become for us the body and blood of Jesus Christ." And then the priest goes on to talk, to pray. He's still praying to the Father, but he's speaking a truth to us saying, on the day before he, Jesus, was to suffer, he took bread in his holy and venerable hands, and with eyes raised to heaven, to you, O God, his almighty Father, giving you thanks, he said the blessing, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples, saying, and now all of us who are fully participating in the Mass are time traveling. We have entered into eternity through our union with God. This is a moment in eternity. You know what? In eternity, there are no clocks. In eternity, everything is now. And now is not even an appropriate word. We don't understand it because we don't live in eternity. We live where everything is in a timeline. We have a past, a present, and a future. And you know, the moment you say I'm in the present, it's already the past. But God is in eternity. And Jesus is coming to us from this place in eternity. And he has pulled us into his eternity through all that has transpired during the Mass so far. And so, when the priest says the words that Jesus said, it is Jesus saying these words through the priest. That's why we say the priest, through his holy orders, has been given the gift of in persona Christi. He is doing sacramental miracles in the person of Christ. It is Christ doing it through him. It is not the human man, the priest. So, we are suddenly in eternity, time traveling, united to that very moment, that very first moment when Jesus instituted the Eucharist and said, take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you. This is my body. The priest at this point is holding up that bread, or what looks like bread, but it's no longer bread. And Jesus is saying to each of us, this is my body. Not this represents my body. He is saying, this is my body. And then the priest, in his communication with God the Father, says, in a similar way, when supper was ended, he took this precious chalice in his holy and venerable hands, and once more giving you thanks, he said the blessing and gave the chalice to his disciples, saying, and wham, we're time traveling again. We're with Jesus in that first supper, which we call the Last Supper, but in that first Eucharistic supper. And it is Jesus, through the priest, who says, take this, all of you, and drink from it. For this is the chalice of my blood. This is the chalice of my blood. The blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me. In other words, he is saying, this is my blood, which will be poured out for you, because at the time he said this, remember, we've time traveled back to that Last Supper, and his crucifixion is about to happen, but it has happened for us, and so we are to receive his body and blood in memory of him. And the priest then ends that with the mystery of faith, and we say, we proclaim your death, O Lord, and profess your resurrection until you come again. Or, when we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim your death, O Lord, until you come again. Or, save us, Savior of the world, for by your cross and resurrection you have set us free. You see what's happened here? We are with Jesus at that Last Supper in eternity and acknowledging what is about to happen, his death and resurrection, as already has happened for us, which it has, because that's what eternity is all about. The past and the present, the future, they're all in the now. This is part of the miracle that is taking place in the Eucharist, in the transubstantiation of the bread and the wine into the body and blood of Jesus. The miracle of the pregnancy that has taken place, of the bread and the wine becoming the body and blood of Jesus. And now can we say that this bread and wine are fully Jesus? I mean, it was fully Jesus at the moment of conception, just as any child is fully human at the moment of their conception. Just as every being, every child at conception has a soul and is fully a human being, but not yet having the form of a human being, that's the way the Eucharist was. That's the way Jesus' body and blood for us was at the moment that the prayers began the conception of this miracle. And now we've reached the point where Jesus is saying to us, this is my body. This is my chalice of blood. But is the pregnancy finished yet? No, it's not. What comes next in Mass is, you know, there's more prayers and more worship that and preparations that take place. And I'm going to go into this more in the next episode. There is too much treasure in what's happening at this part of Mass for one episode. So we're going to go into other elements, other things to understand about this part of the Mass in the next episode. But I'll tell you right now, spoiler alert, the pregnancy ends when we receive Jesus in the Eucharist. We receive his body and blood into us, and we go out from the church to be Jesus in the world. The birth happens when Jesus in us goes out into the world. So you could think of the sanctuary, the church that you're in for Mass, is the womb in which this pregnancy takes place. When we leave the church, having gone through this conception and growth of the presence of Jesus in the Eucharist in us, we go out into the world, we leave the church, that's call the doorway of the church the birthing canal. We are birthed. Jesus is birthed again in us to change the world, to make the world a better place. What do you do with this opportunity? What do you do with Jesus in you to go and make the world a better place? What happens when you leave the church? What happens typically? By paying more attention to what's really going on in Mass and participating fully in it, we leave church changed because we have Jesus in us more fully than we did when we arrived at church. And this is why it's beneficial to go to Mass every day of the week, because after we've been out there away from church, after, you know, we've gotten busy in our lives, in the world, don't we get back into sinning again? Don't we get back into forgetting about God sometimes, or complaining to God, or, complaining to God, about him not answering our prayers, and other dissatisfactions in our lives? And don't we get back into divisions again, divisions with others, and therefore divisions with God? Every day we need what Mass provides. Every day we have the calling to go and make the world a better place. And every day we have the calling of Jesus to, he's saying, hey, take me with you into the world. I want to change the world. I want to answer people's prayers. I want to help people. But you are my body. You are my blood. You are my mouth. You are my hands. You are my feet. You are my heart. I've given you my mind. You have the mind of Christ. And Jesus is saying, Let me make a difference in the world through you, please. It's how this works. It's what God the Father set up. It's the plan He designed. When we receive Jesus in the Eucharist, we are receiving a tremendous gift, not just for ourselves, but to make the world a better place. And for bettering the lives of everybody who encounters us. Somehow, in some way. When others around us encounter us, they may not realize they are encountering Jesus. But if we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, purifying ourselves, praying, and going to Mass to receive all the transformation that God gives us there, then when others encounter us, they are encountering Jesus. And whatever they are doing that is turning away from Jesus, when they turn to you, maybe for advice, maybe for, you know, a good laugh to cheer up their day, or maybe to grumble and complain because they don't know that God is trying to work in their lives. When they turn to us, they are turning to Jesus. If we let Jesus transform us that fully. And every day we need to go back for a renewal of this. Go back running into the womb of the church to go through that pregnancy again and be rebirthed again to be Jesus for those around us. To make a difference, because Jesus cannot go anywhere without making a difference. Yes, just like 2,000 years ago, you know, when Jesus walked the earth, there were many who were not changed by him because they chose to ignore the truth. They chose to be their own gods, figuring out for themselves what's right and wrong. And we all have people like that in our lives. But Jesus didn't stop presenting himself to everyone, because some people, sooner or later, are going to get it. They're going to get the point. They're going to get the message. They're going to want the Jesus that is in you. So let Jesus be himself in you. And to help with that, pray this prayer with me to the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, renew me. Come, Holy Spirit, fill me. Come, Holy Spirit, help me to be Jesus for those around me. Amen. This podcast was made possible by supporters of Good News Ministries who hope to strengthen and build your faith. If this episode speaks to your heart, then I ask you to pass it along to your family and friends. Share it on Facebook and Twitter. Forward it by text and email. And let us know what the Holy Spirit is doing in your life. How has this episode made a difference? You can contact me through the Good News Ministries website at gnm.org or by texting me if you are one of our subscribers on WhatsApp. May I ask a favor of you? Please cover this life-changing podcast ministry in your daily prayers. And if you can, help me continue making these podcasts by becoming a sponsor. Any donation is helpful, but we are especially seeking sponsors for upcoming episodes.
You've been listening to Terry Modica of Good News Ministries. For more faith builders, or to learn more about this ministry, come visit our website at gnm.org. You'll find online resources and lots more to help you know the Father's love and grow closer to Christ and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Visit gnm.org today.